Good morning. Have you ever owned something for a really long time and realized that you really didn't know how it worked? I had this tripod here for probably 20 years. And then somewhere in the last couple of years, I realized, hey, look, those legs extend. It's a little bit embarrassing, you know. I mean, it didn't come with instructions. It's a little bit embarrassing to share. But that's kind of how life is, isn't it? Sometimes you look back and you're like, I really had no idea how that worked, or how am I supposed to do this? And I guess the farther along you get, you figure out things that you didn't know before, things that you couldn't do before. And Jamaica is kind of that way every year. I think every year I look at it and I say, how are we going to do this? How are we going to make this work? How is this going to happen? You know, life's getting more complex, more full, more things going on. It's just not as easy to pick up and go as it once was. But every year I think that, then every year I pray about it, and then every year it works out. There's always a way that's made. And so I guess what I learn about myself is I just need to pray. I need to ask God for help, and I need to trust in His help. And then find out that my legs can extend a little bit more than I thought that they could. So if you're here this morning, you are here to worship with us, and you're here to listen to the report of the work that we did this past summer in Jamaica. And that's following a New Testament pattern, a pattern of people that are sent out by a local congregation, coming back and telling them about the good work that was done, telling them about how the gospel was spread. We were gone this July the 5th through the 19th. It was me, my family, Crystal, Harrison, and Addison. And then the Crowley's family, at least two of them, Jenny and Joey, were there with us. And our goal is to teach and encourage Christians abroad. And that consists of just carrying the truth out, carrying the gospel out to those people in Jamaica, encouraging those who are Christians, teaching those who are not. We begin our trip here in Florida, Crystal's favorite part, when we fly down there to Jamaica. That's one of the things we have to pray a lot about, is how's Crystal going to get on the airplane this year. But she does it every year. She's a trooper, and as soon as we land, everything's fine. And then she starts thinking about the trip back. But as soon as we get there, we pretty much have to hit the ground running. We communicate as much as we can from here to Jamaica, but you almost can't understand Jamaica without being there and knowing that what you think are firm plans here are somewhat different when you arrive. And so there's a lot of things. When we first arrive, we have to get some things nailed down. We have to make sure that we have a rental vehicle, even though we've talked about it for months, even though we've talked to people. Sometimes it's not there. Sometimes, oh, well, somebody else came in and we gave it to them. And so we have to get that nailed down pretty quick. We have to secure lodging. There have been times where, despite the reservations, we got there and they're like, sorry, all full up. And we have to go somewhere else. And then they're full and we have to go somewhere else. So getting lodging, making sure that what they said on the phone and an email and all that really is true, and what you paid for really is there. We have to collect our travelers because people are coming in from all over the country. We have people from, you know, the really everywhere, California, Texas, the Midwest, North, South, all over, that are there. And they all show up at different times. We have to get all those folks collected. And we have to find food and find something that you can eat that's not going to hurt you, not going to, you know, set you off to a bad 2 weeks, which can happen. And we have to make sure the plan hasn't changed. Because, you know, we talk with the other evangelists that are there on the island, and we say, look, is this work? Is this what you want to do? Is this how we're going to conduct this trip? And, oh, yep, that's good, that's perfect. And then you get there, and it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to do it this way. It's a little bit different than what we said. And we're going to do VBS at night instead of in the daytime. And we didn't have any of that this year, fortunately. But you always have to get there and make sure that everything stayed the way that you planned it. And then you have to get the word out. Because sometimes you arrive and you realize that the word's gotten to some people, maybe the people that are close to the church, but it hasn't gotten out into other neighborhoods. It hadn't gotten deep into the audience that we want to reach. And so we have to hop to and start spreading the word sometimes quite quickly when that takes place. We've got a sample here of just kind of an idea of what our schedule looks like. Every day is not the same, but it's a very full schedule. And this just kind of gives you a rundown of what we do during our busiest times when we're there. There's a lot of moving, a lot of getting in a hurry and doing the work, and not a lot of free time. You see our schedule's pretty well full from 7:30 to at least 9:30, and 9:30 is pretty optimistic. Sometimes we don't get into that evening meeting where we kind of debrief and discuss everything until 10:30, 11:30, and then we fall into bed and get up and do it again the next day. And so it's tiring. There's a lot of preparation that has to happen after we get there. We have everybody bringing supplies and materials from different directions because it's, you know, it all has to fit in a suitcase on an airplane. And then everybody starts assembling, you know, hole punching and tying of yarn and drawing and gluing and pasting and cutting and all that has to go on. Sometimes it's a bit overwhelming and you just have to take a moment and get by yourself and go through it all and figure it out. And Crystal's great at doing that. She puts the curriculum together most years and winds up being chiefly in charge of taking care of that. And then sometimes things are just annoying and you have to deal with them. They're not what you want them to be and you have to press through. They're tiring sometimes. Somebody asked me, I think it was Zane, asked me, how's Mr. Tant been doing on the trips? And I said, well, you know, he has to take a little more rest than he used to. And we all feel that. When you're in Jamaica, you need a little more rest than you do back home. And sometimes things happen and you don't feel good. And you're in a foreign country and you're separated from your family and from your doctor and from, you know, Walgreens. All the things that you would just normally go call on and you have to go see somebody that you don't know and they give you something that you've never heard of. And so it can be a little bit challenging. And you try not to hit any walls. Hopefully you don't crash into anything that stops you in your tracks. And so far we haven't. And even when it's dark, even when you encounter dark times there, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel, it seems. There's always some way that we find a way to work it out. With God's help, with the help of the brethren there, we've been able to do this for 20 years. And, you know, just kind of an overview of the groups that we work with. We work with the Montego Bay Church. They are located right there in Montego Bay. They're actually called the St. James Church of Christ because it just something to do with zoning or code, something along those lines. That's the one that's there in Mobay. And then there's in the south side of the island, the Cave, the Savannah Lamar Church. There's the Grange Hill Church, which we've worked on and off with depending on how much time we had. We just kind of made a commitment this year that we're going to do it. We're going to work. We're going to do three VBSs instead of just two. So we actually did three this year. It's been a year or two since we've done that. Makes for a very busy schedule, doing one in the morning, one in the evening. And then personal studies. You know, there are studies that go on with Christians that are in need, Christians that are struggling, things that we need to follow up with and try to encourage them and support them with. There are personal studies with non-Christians that we meet, that we perhaps have had contact with in years past that we follow up with. And then we go to something that we've added in the last couple of years, going to the Montego Bay Infirmary. And it would be the closest thing we would liken it to as a nursing home. And it's just deplorable conditions compared to what we would be accustomed to. You know, open air, probably one nurse to 20 or 30 guys. And, you know, they just are being kept alive, being helped with whatever they can't help themselves with, but very much a self-serve place. So we go in there and try to encourage, sing songs with them, have Bible studies with those guys. They're people that are certainly at the latter part of their life and on the way into eternity very shortly. So we try to give them a bit of encouragement, a bit of help if they don't know the truth. And then cold contacts that we just bump into. You know, it's one of the things that's amazing about relating to people is that you bump into somebody. Mr. Tant really does this well. Bump into somebody at McDonald's, next thing you know, you're having a Bible study. And they don't have McDonald's on the island anymore, but they used to. You bump into somebody on the street and have a Bible study. You bump into somebody in Jamaica, you're a lot more likely to be able to speak about the truth, about the Bible with them than you are here. There's people will tell you if they're willing to listen or if they're not. It's not a taboo like it is here. And then encouraging one another. That, you know, the group itself encourages itself by the work that we're doing, by the dedication to the focus on the truth for the week. We're encouraged by seeing each other diligently pushing past what may be our comfort zones, where we stopped before. And it's an encouraging trip all the way around because it's centered around and focused around just doing God's work. It's been a great blessing to be a part of. I wanted to share a brief story with you, too, about how we got into this, how me and Crystal got into this. It's kind of a fun story. And I see, you know, Zane and Lauren are here, too, so it ties back into a gentleman by the name of Jeff Harward that used to preach here a long time ago. And me and Crystal were about 19 years old, and we had just gone on a vacation with my parents, who were also here. And we were up in Maggie Valley, North Carolina, and I think we had just gotten back. And Jeff says, hey, there's this great opportunity, this wonderful work that's going on in Jamaica. Would you guys be interested in doing it? And we're like, yeah, absolutely. He's like, good, it's next week. And we're like, all right, you know, sign us up. That sounds awesome. And, you know, all the while thinking we were going, he says, that's wonderful. I'm so glad you guys can go because I can't this year. And you guys would be wonderful over there, you know, without me. And it just, you know, we're like, okay, I guess we're jumping into this with 2 feet. And that's how we began. And ever since then, this congregation has supported us. So one of the things I always want to make sure that we say is thank you for supporting the work there. We couldn't do it without you. Couldn't do it without your prayers, without your financial support. And when we are there doing that work, I hope that you all think of it as an extension of yourselves, as we all are the family of God working to spread His truth throughout this world. One of the best things that I have gained from Jamaica is perspective. And perspective really is a gift. It's something that you can go through life and have very little of. You can miss out on perspective if you just kind of see things as you have always seen them and you only look in your own little world and live in your own little paradigm. One of the wonderful things that Jamaica does is helps you to see how other Christians live, what they have to deal with, their struggles, and helps you to see that your struggles are not the same struggles that everybody has, and that their struggles are not the same as yours, and that we all are in this together, and we all are accountable to the same standard. We're all going to answer to the same God. And that perspective that I've gained over the years has been a great service to me, and I think it's helped me to be a better servant of God by seeing and experiencing it. So, speaking of perspective here, I want to share a little bit of Jamaican perspective. So things are different there. This sign here, absolutely no vending at the gate. You know, we tend to think of signs as being things you should generally give credence to. In Jamaica, it really doesn't mean as much. You know, it's just kind of a cultural sense of everything Irie. And that just means everything's okay. You know, it's not really that important. It's how their culture as a whole works. You know, you'll see a mob of kids and speeding traffic, and the kids are walking towards the road, and the traffic is speeding towards where the kids are going to cross, and you're kind of holding your head like, oh no, this is going to be terrible. Then the traffic comes to a screeching halt, maybe a Jamaican gets out and flags the traffic, and then the kids walk across, you know, some random Jamaican stops it, and then it just works, and the kids cross safely, and then the cars, you know, peel out and back up to full speed, and you're like, wow, that was startling. But that's life in Jamaica. It's just different than we think about in the States. And keeping with the idea of perspective, we're going to have some others that offer their perspective this morning. First of all is Harrison Rogers. He's going to come up and give his discussion about what he saw and what he did there.
Harrison?
Good morning, everyone. So what is a missionary? What does the word even mean? So Webster says that a missionary is a person sent on a religious mission, especially one sent to promote Christianity in a foreign country, which happens to be exactly what we did. So let's see hands. Raise hands if you think that being a missionary is something you could do and something you can attain. Okay, yes, all of us can be missionaries, every single one of us. There's no limit. Do you have to travel far, far away to be a missionary? Of course not. So the Bible says in Mark 16, and if you can turn with me, to Mark 16, 15 through 16, and I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." So, on behalf of my family, I'm going to be telling about some of the jobs we had. So first off, my mom, or as y'all know her as Crystal Rogers, she teaches the elementary. She also helps with, she does most of the Vacation Bible School preparation, both here in Florida at the house or at the island, like cramped up in a tiny little space, like you saw in the slide earlier. All right. My dad, Mr. Burt, he is the bus driver, and those are some fun times. So he drives the bus all over the island. He even has a Jamaican's driver's license, which is not something that you see every day from a foreign man. He also does the scheduling for the whole entire group. He leads songs, preaches sermons and devotions, and he encourages the friends and makes everyone laugh. Now my sister, Addison, She's a hopper. She helps out wherever she can, but normally she can either sit in the high school class just to contribute to the conversation, or she goes and helps out wherever she is necessary, needed. All right, me. I keep the energy high. I play with the little kids because they seem to like me a lot. I assist the nursery and primary classes, but mostly the nursery. Like I said, the kids like me a lot. I also ride around with my dad to try to learn the roads so I can do the driving one day. That way my kid's going to be saying, those are some fun times. So, let me just say thank you for supporting me and my family and the Crowley's family. And that's all I have to say, so thank you.
It has been a great privilege to watch the kids grow up in this work, going from just being a bit of burdensome baggage that made the trip much more difficult when they were very, very young. They've been going since they were born and even before they were born, to becoming actual contributors to the trip, contributors to the effort. They do things that literally make it easier on the rest of the group, and that's meaningful. That's when you know that they get it, that they understand what it is to be a servant, that's our job as Christians, we're to be servants. So it's been wonderful to be able to bring them up in that. Our goal and our intention with bringing up the kids in that environment and showing, you know, that to the Jamaicans is because the family over there is quite different than it is here. Most families are centered around a mom who is the only caretaker for quite a few kids. Most of the time, dad or dads are nowhere in the picture. And so it was part of our goal and our intention to be able to just demonstrate, look, it's possible. It's possible to live a life and have a family the way that God indicates that we should, according to the pattern that the Bible sets out, one man, one woman, raising their family together and serving God as a group. And so, again, it's not just sending us over there to teach the truth from the book, which is what we do, but you send us over there to teach the truth by way of example and by way of our family, and that's very meaningful to us. The next speaker is going to be Joey Crowley, and I just want to say briefly, you know, we knew that when Joey and Jenny said that they were going to go, that they were going to be a big help to the trip. I mean, it's obvious hard workers here is going to be hard workers over there in Jamaica. But I just want to take a moment to say they did a tremendous job in jumping in and doing things sometimes at the spur of a moment. Somebody's sick over here. It's time to fill in this gap over here. And they hopped to it, and they performed admirably and were a great help to the trip. So Joey's going to come up and give us his perspective now and share his thoughts on what he has.
Well, good morning, everybody. I just want to start off by saying thank you to everyone who supported this trip this year. It was a tremendous blessing, one that I will never forget, neither me or Mom. We can't thank you enough, and especially want to say thank you for the Roger family for helping us out during the whole trip, because I would have no clue what to do at all while I was down there. But when I first heard about the fact that we were going on the trip this year, I was ecstatic, honestly. I remember Alex was over, and Dad called Mom and said, hey, you guys are going to the Jamaica trip this year. And I jump up, and I'm running around. I'm being my usual self, being goofy. And Alex is like, Joey, just shut up and play the game. But I really didn't know what to expect, honestly. I had no clue what was going to go on, how busy we were going to be, what kinds of classes we were going to have, what kind of people we would meet. I didn't even know who was going. I had no clue anything about this trip. So I'm talking with people like LJ and Bert and, you know, people who have gone before Aaron. And, you know, some of them are giving me tips, like, you know, make sure, of course, you get plenty of sleep, because we're going to be staying up for a while every night, waking up early in the morning. We're always going to be busy, you know. So make sure you get plenty of sleep. Somebody told me, I believe it was LJ, actually, do not ride in the car while David Chant is driving, or else you might not make it back to America. But obviously that turned out pretty well. But again, I didn't know what to expect, and when we got there, everything was kind of a shock. We land there in Jamaica, and the first thing we do is go get the bus. And that took a while, and it was actually my first time having coconut, and I had no clue, and I realized I hate it. But everything was interesting that first day. We were kind of getting settled into the hotel, picking people up, meeting new people, and everything was a little awkward for me personally. But I quickly realized it was going to be all right. We were going to do good. We were doing good for other people. But I want to talk about the Americans that we met specifically for a moment. They really inspired me in a lot of ways. They were all so kind, so generous and loving and godly, spiritually minded. It was unbelievable, the people that we met. I cannot stress enough that these people have really become my family, and I will never forget them, and I can't wait to see them again next year, Lord willing. But one thing that really stuck out to me was when we went to the nursing home on Monday of that first week. And, you know, like Bert said, it was open air. Everything was it didn't look good. And I was a little nervous walking in there, I'll be honest. But seeing these Americans walk in there with such confidence and knowing that they're not there for themselves. You know, they're not there to make themselves happy, because it's not a pretty place. And it's not pleasant to be in. And they went in there so lovingly, and sitting down with these people in the nursing home here. I remember Caitlin Garrett, who was a 26-year-old there, and she was just the kindest girl you will ever meet. She sat down with one of the residents with her Bible and said, "Would you like me to read a few verses from the Bible with you?" And that really stuck out to me. Like, I would never think to do that. I would never think to sit down with this nursing home resident, get my Bible out and say, "Would you like to read the Bible with me?" But just seeing all these people sitting down and singing songs, singing the songs with the nursing home residents there was just unbelievable, because they knew almost every single word to every song, and they were singing with their whole heart. Whether or not they really knew what was happening, I don't know, but they loved every second of it. And again, we weren't doing this for ourselves. We were doing this for the people, to encourage them, because that's what this entire trip was about. Not to make ourselves happy or to you know, have fun or anything, but it was to make them encouraged and to show them this is Christ living through us. That was the whole purpose of this trip. Now, the stuff that needed to be done, I honestly was more of the grunt work. I kind of lifted what needed to be lifted, moved what needed to be moved, helped out where it was needed. I helped out in multiple classes, actually, mostly the middle class, which I believe was 9 to 12, ages 9 to 12. And at one point, there were 36 kids in the middle class, and that's just ages 9 through 12. And we had classes for all ages, from nursing all the way up to adult. So there was a lot of people during the second week, especially during VBS, and there was always a lot to be done. I also had to fill in for song leading a lot, because we didn't have very many men who were comfortable leading song leading. Also, Bert had a little throat thing going on, so he didn't feel comfortable singing while he also had to teach and do all the other stuff that he was doing. But every night, like Bert said, we also did a nighttime devotion, which at the time, I was like, "Can I please just go to bed?" Because I do not want to be up at 11 o'clock at night when I have to wake up early tomorrow and do this all over again. But looking back, it was honestly probably my favorite thing about the entire trip. Because looking back, I realized we were sitting together in this one room, reading our Bibles, studying the Bible together, singing songs of praise to God, and just encouraging each other. That was what it was about. That's why we did the nighttime devotions. Not only to talk about what was coming up the next day or the next few days, but to encourage each other and to build each other up. So, honestly, if I had to summarize everything, I've kept it kind of short this morning, but if I had to summarize everything in one word, I would just say phenomenal. This was truly one of the best things that's ever happened for me personally, just being able to grow in my own spirituality, become more godly in my thinking, meet these people who have helped me through many things, even just during the 2 weeks that we were there and we knew each other. I mean, honestly, we became like family, and we are family in Christ. And it was just a true blessing. I also have something that Mom wrote here. I read it and I thought, okay, she's going to show everybody up again. But We all know she writes your lessons, Dad. It's okay. All right, so I'm just going to read the few paragraphs that Mom wrote. All right, so Mom says, "It's hard to know what to add to the men's report, so I will try not to repeat their words too much. First, I do want to say thank you. Thank you for allowing and supporting Joey and I to go on this trip together. My own memories of this trip, besides the details that have already been reported on, include the beauty of watching the Lord's people together. The American Christians ranged in age from 11 to 84, and some of the Americans had never been on this trip, and some have made the trip year after year for decades. But without fail, everyone joined in and did whatever was needed to be done, whether it was punching holes in paper plates for a VBS craft, moving furniture, speaking in front of a group with no notice, or stroking the hand of a bedridden nursing home patient. No questions asked, no hesitation. The bond in Christ that each of the Americans have was the key which made working side by side and huddling up for prayer with people you've never met before natural and easy. The Jamaican Christians have the same bond and unity in their culture, and the two different cultures work together in mutual love and edification. The Jamaicans look forward to this annual trip as much as the Americans do, it seems. The newbies took their cue from the veteran travelers. Starting immediately upon arrival, someone was walking up to a stranger and talking to them about the Lord. The time there is short and the need is great, so spreading the word was the focus all day. It is an interesting lesson to think on, how bold we can be when we have a focus and the example of others, and when we surround ourselves with like-minded Christians who are of a mind to work, we are emboldened to join right in. And though we worked a lot, it seemed light and good. I was reminded of a saying I heard years ago, if heaven is a place of eternal rest, we had better be good and tired when we get there. Jamaica is an island of beauty and filth, fancy cars and poverty-ridden homes, hunger and abundant fruits and vegetables on every corner. The people that I met were friendly and generous. Besides the events of the week and the relationships that have already been discussed, I will always treasure in my heart the blessing of working side by side my own son on this trip. Together we worked and prayed. Together we worshipped and made new friends, and I feel blessed to have been there to see him stretch himself and gain more trust in the Lord and love for the Lord's people." So that's all I have for this morning, but I will say, just as a closing thought on my end, while this is a Jamaica report and this is a thing that we do in Jamaica, we travel across country to go there, this is not just something that we do in Jamaica. There are plenty of opportunities here in Middleburg or in Orange Park or in Jacksonville. We can go to nursing homes and study the Bible with people and spread the word that way. We can go out on the streets like we did there in Jamaica that first week, spreading the word, inviting people, would you like to have a Bible study with me? And it's easy for me to come up here and say, you know, we can do all these things, yeah, woohoo. But are we actually going to do them? Because that is what we are told to do. In James chapter 1 and verse 27, if you actually want to take out your Bible and just read it real quick with me. If I can get it to load. James chapter 1 and verse 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Spread the word to people around you. Ask your coworkers if they want to have a Bible study with you. The worst they can do is say no or mock you. But is that really going to affect you long term? I don't think it is. So those are my thoughts about the Jamaica report today. Again, it was a true blessing, and thank you to everyone who supported it. And we look forward to next year. So.
Thank you, Joey, Jenny, Harrison. Thank you very much. Those ideas, those concepts are best coming from them. That's part of why we're doing it this way. I told both of them and Harrison as well, I said, I've been doing this long enough to where it's difficult for me to tell you anything new. It's difficult for me to tell you what's what's unique and special about the trip, because it's become just part of my life now. It's part of what I've been doing for 20 years, and there's not things that stand out like they do to them. So I really appreciate you sharing your perspective on the trip. And I love that equation that's there in James. That's a wonderful verse to share. The idea that that's really what we're supposed to be about, being busy with God's work and staying away from the things in this world that will contaminate us, that will destroy us, that will ruin us. And that focus that we get to experience over there is something that we do have the benefit of bringing it back here and trying to share that same idea, that this is what we're supposed to be all the time. This is who we're supposed to be as Christians. We're supposed to be focused on God's work. And it is a challenge. It's a challenge everywhere. It's a challenge in our everyday life. But hopefully these concepts will encourage you a little bit to add some more of that to what you do every day. I wanted to share with you a few common questions that missionaries get. I don't use that word a lot. I decided to start using it this year because Harrison was going to use it in his discussion. I just look at myself as somebody who's doing God's will here in the States, at work at Miller Electric, you know, in Jamaica, wherever I find myself. But a few common questions that when we're sharing this idea, hey, we're going to a foreign country, we're going to go over there and do this work, people ask some questions, and it seems to be kind of the same set of questions everywhere we go. Like, so what are you going to build when you're there? You guys, you know, building houses, you building shelters, you building hospitals, you building something for the poor. Do you do medical relief? You know, you take like doctors and dentists and things like that with you, and, you know, like, you know, take care of people that can't take care of themselves. Is that something that you do? Do you feed the hungry? That's a question I always get. So you guys, you know, you do like a soup kitchen over there. Get that question a lot. Do you clothe the poor? Do you go over there and take clothes to people that can't afford them or don't have them? And it's a difficult concept to share because I think what we do is so foreign in this world. There are a lot of people that build stuff for the poor. There are a lot of people that do medical relief. There are a lot of people that feed the hungry and that feed and clothe the poor. And therefore, that's kind of the common expectation when people hear that we're doing missionary work. They think we must fit into that mold. And so my answer is usually something kind of along these lines. Well, we do some of that stuff occasionally. That happens along the way. If I'm walking down the street and I see a hungry guy and he says, hey, I'm hungry, I'll say, hey, you want a hamburger? And we'll go get him something. Or I'll get him a bun. That's a very common Jamaican term. Can I have a bun? And what they mean is some type of a muffin. Yeah, let's go to the store. I'll get you a bun. And we do some of that stuff while we're there, but that is not the primary goal in our trip. We don't go over there to erect structures and to take medical help. And we do have some medical professionals that go with us from time to time that are able to do things that I couldn't do myself. So we do some of that stuff, but we mainly are there to just hand out this eternal gift of truth. This eternal gift of truth that is missing in so many cultures, so many places, so many families, so many towns, just missing in this world that people don't have the truth. People have lived inundated, embroiled in lies for their entire lives. And God's truth is the only solution for that problem. And simply taking the Word of God to people is our primary goal, our primary mission. As soon as they're old enough to understand, we want to take them the truth. When they're at those pivotal moments, like we talked about already this morning, where life has gotten hold of them and they're ready to listen, that's what we want to be there with the truth. And so when I say that to people, sometimes it's kind of get this reaction of like, so you just go over and like talk to people? Yeah, that's what we do. We go over there and we talk to people. Not about what Bert has to say, not about what Joey has to say or what anybody, you know, here's my thoughts. No, we go over there and we try to take people the life-saving, life-altering gospel of Christ. The fact that there is good news in this terrible, terrible world that we live in, that in spite of how awful your life is and how awful life has treated you, there is hope. There is hope in Christ, and there's hope for all of eternity with God if we hear the truth. So I wanted to share with you, since we're talking about the most powerful thing in all of creation, the most powerful thing in the world, I just wanted to share a few ideas from the truth with you before we begin to wrap up. Think about that. Hebrews 4, the Word of God is the most powerful tool for attacking sin and wrong thinking. So if you're looking to tear down lies, if you're looking to destroy sin and to help people get out of sin and out of the consequences of sin, there is no more powerful tool than the truth. Simple words from our Creator are the tools that are going to help those people to change their lives forever. You can feed a person today, and they're probably going to be in their same circumstance tomorrow. But when you give somebody the truth, they now have the tools to change their entire eternity. And that's what you support here as a congregation when you send us there. The Word of God is His power to salvation granted to us. If you look at Romans 1, Romans 10, those ideas are found there. That the gospel of Christ is God's power to salvation. So if I'm looking around, where is God's power to salvation? Is it over there in that locked up box in that treasure chest? Is it buried over here in the ground? I don't have to look very far. It's in the Word of God. It's in the gospel. And sometimes I just have to pause and take a moment and consider what it is that we are carrying around with us as Christians. That we literally have the keys to a person's salvation in the thoughts we have from God in His Word. That's amazing when you think about that. I'm privileged, you are privileged, to carry the key to unlock a life of destruction and turn it into a life of success in God with the truth of God that we have from Him. What a blessing. What an amazing, amazing task we've been given. By the Word of God, heaven and earth exist and remain. Second Peter shares that concept with us, that this life that we have is here because of the power of God's Word. Because God speaks and things are, and He speaks again and things are no longer. And that's the power of the God that we serve and the Word that we carry around on His behalf. Just an example here, if we know the story when Jesus and His disciples are out on the water and a huge storm comes up, and Jesus stands up and with the Word of God says, "Peace, be still." And the waters fall back into their place and the wind calms down and is no more. And his disciples say, "Who is this? Who is this that commands even the elements and they obey Him?" And that is the God whose Word we carry around today. That is the God whose Word we get to share with people when we do this kind of thing, we do this kind of work. When they came to take Jesus, when the soldiers, the troops showed up to take Him, and He says, "I am He," they fall back and they draw back to the ground. As He spoke the Word of God, speaking, "I am He. I am the one that you are seeking." By the Word of God, Jesus offered His life for us. And it's recorded there in John 19 and 23, a couple of different statements He made. The one, He said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And He said, "It is finished." And by those words, He was given that privilege by God, His Father, to have control over His life, to lay it down or to take it up. And He chose by His own word to lay down His life at that time. Something that's of terrible importance for all of us, amazingly weighty importance for all of us. But it's by the Word of God that Jesus will proclaim final judgment upon every person that's ever lived on this earth. That every person you know, every person in this room, every person you've ever met will stand before God and they'll hear one of two things. They'll hear, "Well done." And they'll be promoted from where they are to being in heaven in eternity with God. Or they will hear, "I never knew you." And they will be left behind with those that are without God. Those that are outside in the darkness and that don't have any more hope after that. No hope of changing, no hope of betterment, no hope of ever being saved from the despair that they will feel at that moment. And we can help that. We can affect that now with the Word of God. We can carry that saving message to people when we tell the truth. So I want to share a brief 3-minute long photo album with you here. And just think on those thoughts as you kind of see the images and think about who it is that you can help, what it is that you might be able to do in your life.
I'll be with the Lord. I'll be with the Lord. While the ages roll on, through the valley of death, through the valley of death, I'm sure I must go, I'm sure I must go, though the wages of sin, though the wages of sin, I don't want to know, I don't want to know, I'll be judged by the deeds, I'll be just fine of thee. Have you seen that soul? Have you seen that soul? And I with my Savior. And I with my Savior. For the ages roll on and on. While the ages roll on. While the ages roll on.
See so much potential in those faces, in those images. You see souls that are going to stand before their God. And it reminds you of our task everywhere we go. It reminds you of what we should be about in everything that we do. What's going to help this person get to heaven? What's going to help this person be closer to their Creator? What's going to help this person serve their God? And so our trip comes to a close. And we head back home. And we get here safely. And we're happy to be here. As great as the trip is, it's still wonderful to be home. It's still wonderful to be back with you guys. We miss you when we're gone. We miss them when we're away. You start to understand a little bit better that we are one big, huge family. And that we'll only truly be all together when we are in heaven with our God, with our Savior. And that's what we all need to keep our eyes on. That's what we need to keep in mind, that day and that time when we'll be with Christ, with God. And that's how we keep going. So thank you for helping us to spread the most powerful, life-changing force in the world. That one place there, Jamaica, that we get to go, that's outside of the States. Thank you for being a part of that. Thank you for praying for us when we're here, when you send us off in your homes while we're away. We appreciate the prayers. And so just a question I want you to consider for yourself. As we have talked about all this today, we've talked about the truth, what it can do for mankind, that ultimately the truth is the thing in this life that matters above all else. Is, do you have access to God's power for salvation? This is a question for you personally, you as an individual. Ask yourself, do I have access to God's power for salvation? If you have the Bible, if you have the truth, then you have access to it. I think the follow-up question is, are you using it? Are you living that life that follows the truth? Or are you perhaps following something you've always done because it's what you've always done? Have you examined your life? Have you compared it to what God says will save you? Have you compared it to the person that God says He wants you to be? Are you truly digging deep and reaching for what God has called you to be? Or are you sitting content with maybe where you're comfortable, where you've always been, where you think that you know, your life, your right, your privilege as an American says that that's where you are allowed to just stay and dwell there? And I would just caution all of us, myself included, be careful, because life is easy in the States. Even when it's difficult, it's easy. And sometimes in the great plenty that we enjoy comes great laziness and great neglect. And one of the blessings of Jamaica is it's helped me to see that about myself better than I think that I would if I'd never been there. It's easy to ignore the opportunities that we have here to spread the truth. It's easy to ignore the time that we are blessed with, because we're not spending, you know, from daylight till dusk just trying to eke out a living for ourselves. So if you are here today and you're not a Christian, we want you to know that your family here at Middleburg cares about you. We want you to come from being in that world to being in Christ. We want the same thing for you that we want for those people that we travel hundreds of miles to go see in Jamaica. We want you to go to heaven one day. We want you to be with your Creator in a relationship that is blessed and that is happy and that is eternal when you leave this earth. And rest assured, we will all leave this earth. Our lives here will end. And it is best that we think about that today and we prepare for it today rather than waiting till we stand before Jesus and realize that we are woefully unprepared. So if you're here today and you're struggling, if you're not a Christian, or if you are a Christian and you're struggling and you realize that you're just outside of God, that your relationship with Him is not what it should be, we want to help you change that. It's already been read once, but I'll read it again. Harrison read that verse there in Mark chapter 16. And I try not to do things from memory, because memory will fail me. It says, "He who believes and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who disbelieves shall be condemned." It all hinges around us knowing the truth and obeying God.